والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، واجعل التفرق بعده تفرقا معصوما. اللهم ولا تدع فينا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most compassionate, the most merciful, all praise and thanks are due to him, and peace and blessings be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب يا أحبة، في المرة الماضية احنا ابتدأنا بموضوع الخطاب القرآني لبني إسرائيل، وقلنا من ضمن الأمور تحدثنا قليلا عن قضية العلاقة، تحدثنا عن إذا تذكروا موضوع الكتاب المقدس، علاقة التوراة أو العهد القديم بالعهد الجديد اللهم صل على سيد محمد بالقرآن الكريم. والنقطة اليوم بدنا نركز أكثر على موضوع أن الخطاب القرآني كان الآن متوجها إلى بني إسرائيل، وكانوا موجودين أصلا في المدينة. ما أدري هل أخبرتكم أنا عن منذ متى كانوا موجودين في المدينة؟ لم أخبر. Okay, last time we did mention, we started talking about how the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter Al-Baqarah, the cow, was addressing the children of Israel. They were living there at Al-Madinah with Muslims. So today we will give an idea about the importance, why, and what kind of benefit we will get from the fact that Allah is addressing the children of Israel, okay, in their time, at that time, and for us as Muslims, and why the children of Israel, they were living there at Al-Madinah. Now this is a historical point. لأن نرجع بحد معلوماتي التاريخية بالعام تقريبا 75 ميلادي، يعني قبل مولد النبي ب 500 سنة بالضبط، وليس بعثته، قبل مولده ب 500 سنة، الرومان قاموا بمجزرة لليهود في فلسطين وقتلوا عددا كبيرا منهم. باعتبار أن اليهود كانوا أصحاب سلطة ذاتية تعيش في فلسطين، وكان بينهم هناك من كان معترضا على حكم الرومان الوثني لهم، فكانوا يقومون بنوع من ردات الفعل والاعتراض على الحكم الروماني الذي كان يتميز بأنه دولة ذات سلطة وسيادة عسكرية وضرائب ومال. فالرومان قرروا أن يضربوا اليهود ضربة قوية جدا، فبعثوا، وهذا كان ب 75 ميلادي، والمشهور فيها تاريخيا ما يسمى بالعربي بنسموه تيتوس الروماني، بالإنجليزي تيتوس. ف what I'm saying basically, to the best of our knowledge, how Jews happened that they were living at Al-Madinah. You go back historically to 500 years before the birth of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was born at 575 AD. So at 75 AD, which is 500 years before his birth exactly, the Jews, they have some kind of a good, you know, sovereignty, taking care of themselves within the Roman Empire. Some religious group of them, they were rejecting the, you know, the governor and the authority of the pagan Romans upon them. So the Romans, they punished them and they made a massacre with them. So they killed a lot of them, and some of them they flee and left what we know now as Palestine and Jerusalem. And they traveled in specific to the area of what we know now as Al-Madinah. Now, to the best of our historical and religious resources, they were chasing signs in the Torah, talking about that the time of a new prophet has come. Look, new prophet has come. Before 500 years they were waiting. So they were chasing the signs that this prophet will be sent in a place where a lot of palm trees there will be, you know, between the places of the Jibal Faran. Jibal Faran, it is a description for the series of mountains, you know, around the Mecca. Subhanallah. So they were chasing the signs. فكان اليهود يتبعون إشارات توراتية عن قرب موعد مجيء نبي سيبعث 500 عام قبل مولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا هو السبب الرئيسي لسبب وجودهم هناك فيما نعرفه طبعا ببني النضير وبني قريظة وبني قينقاع ويهود خيبر أيضا لهم خارج المدينة. فبناء على ذلك هذا سبب الوجود. الآن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما ذهب إلى المدينة عقد حلفا وصلحا وأقام ميثاقا، وهو يعتبر أول ميثاق لدولة مدنية في تاريخ البشر. And by the way, those who are talking about the civil society and the human rights, Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was the first person in the history of human beings who did like a civil, yes, agreement or constitution between different ethnic groups and different religious groups to have a civil society. 1400 years ago, United Nations, they started this talking about the human rights constitution and these things just about 60-70 years. And you know, First World War, Second World War, etc. Anyway, so that's why, because some people they say, okay, the Quran was addressing the children of Israel depending on what? Why them? Because they were there, they were mixing with Muslims, and they have a lot of differences between Muslims and Jews, and a lot of clashes based on faith. So in our belief, they knew that he is the prophet. For them, they rejected. You know, children of Israel, they rejected Jesus Christ and they rejected Prophet Muhammad, both. For us, we believe that they knew, but they rejected. So they were there. So now, how do we understand these verses? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing, in the Quran is for Muslims. But this is recited there, and many of them, they do listen, and they have the access to it. فالقرآن يتلى في المدينة وبنو إسرائيل أو أحفادهم موجودون في المدينة يسمعون إن أرادوا ويستمعون إلى هذه المعاني. فبالتالي هي رسالة مزدوجة. It's like a, you know, double message. من زاوية هي تخاطب بني إسرائيل وتذكرهم بالعهود والمواثيق وما كان بينهم وبين الله. وبالمناسبة بنو إسرائيل من أكثر الناس الذين أنعم الله عليهم في تاريخ البشر. ويذكرهم بهذه النعم. So it's like a double message. The first part of the message is for the children of Israel, and Allah is reminding them with the bounties, with the blessings, with the favors that He sent to them for hundreds of years. And by the way, and it's true, Allah gave them what He did not give to any other nation. And He was mythical. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. I have, you know, favored you upon all nations in your time. And every time you were there, I dealt with you as the best of the nations. So Allah is reminding them. From another angle, على الزاوية الأخرى من الرسالة لمين؟ إلا. فالله, as if Allah is telling us, He's addressing them, but the message is for us as well. Okay? So let's see the first message. وقف عند أول رسالة. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإيايا فارهبون. All children of Israel, remember my favor upon you, fulfill your covenant and I will fulfill mine, and stand in awe of me alone, believe in my revelations which confirm your scriptures, do not be the first to deny them or trade them for a fleeting gain. ولا تشتروا وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإيايا فاتقون. So let's look at ourselves now. We as believers who received the, do you remember we say Old Testament, the New Testament and Last Testament. So we are dealing with the Last. It is, you have to know this. We believe that Allah did send to a group of believers in their time. He sent to another group. We are the final group. Not necessarily we, the message. Because the one who refused the message can't consider himself from, you know, from the followers of this message. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. For us, let's change now the audience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Do you think أو هل تظنون أن هناك نعمة أكبر من أن الله قد جعلنا نعرفه وندرك الإسلام وخاصة الذين يتحدثون اللغة العربية وخاصة الذي ولد مسلما هل تظن هناك نعمة أكبر منها؟ So now إذا أردنا أن نقوم بتعداد النعم نعمة أنك ولدت مسلما بحد ذاتها هذه نعمة نعمة أنك تعرف الإسلام نعمة نعمة أنك تعرف اللغة العربية نعمة نعمة أنك مكرم بأن تحمل هذه الرسالة إلى الناس ممن لا يعرف الله ولا يعرف دينه هذا إذا أخذناها النعمة بالمعنى الفكري والمعنى العقدي أما إذا دخلنا في النعم بتفصيلات النعم الشخصية ونعم الصحة ونعم موضوع آخر So I'm talking now about now let's look at this as Allah is addressing us Now the fact that we are Muslims and we are believers and we are aware of this message and we have the access, especially the majority of those who are listening to me, they are Arabs. Just, you know, knowing Arabic language, which means you know the, you have the access to the Quran, you have the access to the Sunnah, to the Hadith. In itself, it's a big ni'mah. So therefore, I always tell my students at the university, I said, Arabs. Arabs who rejected Allah, they will be facing the biggest problem in the Day of Judgment. Because they are the best. Look, the message. Allah is telling the people of Israel, an'amtu alaykum. So what about Arabs now? Among Muslims, especially the Arabs I'm talking. By default, you have the access to the knowledge of Allah without paying any efforts. Wallah, I remember like a quick story happened with me about more than 20 years ago. I was doing my PhD in the UK. So I was living next to one of the masajid, most of the people there from Kashmir, from Pakistani part of Kashmir. So they are Pakistani, but originally from the area of Kashmir. So I was praying 5 times with them when I was writing my thesis, my PhD. So the people of the masjid, they knew me, they realized me. You know, my appearance, it's clear that I'm not from Pakistan. But they know me. So some people, a new person came to the masjid. He thought that maybe I'm a new Muslim convert from Greece or from Italy. I don't know what he thought about me. Or maybe a Bosnian, and I don't know, a Serbian, I don't know. So it seems that he asked some of the people of the masjid about me. Then he followed me after we finished the prayer. He said, brother, assalamu alaikum alaikum. I said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Jordan. I said, brother, okay, what do you do? I told him that I've done my master's in Tafsir al-Quran, I'm doing my PhD in comparative religions, and I did such and such. I say, brother, look at the first question now. I say, brother, can you read the book of Imam Azam? You know Imam Azam? Of course, the Pakistan brother, they understood what I'm talking about, because this is their way. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, they call him Al-Imam Al-A'zam. In Arabic, we say Al-Imam Al-A'zam. In the Pakistani accent, they say Imam Azam. Al-Imam Al-A'zam. Well, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. So he said, brother, can you read the book of Imam Azam? I said, yes, brother, I can read. I thought, now, he will ask me now the question, which is, okay, what do you think about such and such in Hanafi Madhab? Then he said, brother, can you read the book of Imam Shafi'i? I said, yes, brother. I'm waiting the question now. I said, brother, can you read the tafsir of Imam Tabari? I said, yes, brother. In my mind, I said, what is the question? It's like, you know, when you stop someone in the street, say, excuse me, are you an expert in IT? Yes, this is not the question. The question now will come. Okay, what shall I do if someone is hacking my laptop, for example? So I'm waiting with the question. He asked me about 7 to 10 names of books that I did study and I can't have access because I'm a student of Islamic studies in Jordan in Arabic language. And I did my master's degree in the miraculous aspect of the language of the Quran. So it's for me, it's easy. I'm just waiting the question. After he asking, look at my face. He was asking me in this attitude, brother, can you read the book? Yes, brother. Can you read the book? Yes. Then he looked at me like this. Then he left. That's it. End of conversation. Wallahi. When I tell my students about this, I say, have you understood what happened? They say, no, wallahi, I think you are joking with us. No, I'm not joking. You know what happened? He's a non-Arab. When he knew that I'm an Arab and doing my Islamic studies in tafsir and fiqh, when he realized by direct questions that it's for me peanuts, just I open and read, he was in a status of a feeling, wow, I wish if I were you. I'm ready to die, but to be in your place. Wallahi, at that specific moment, it was my, I think, fifth year in PhD. It was my 17th year of fully dedicated to study Sharia from year one in BA up to the, because it took me 4 years BA, 7 years and a half in master's degree, 6 years in PhD, so 18 years nearly. So it was my 15th or 16th year. And I have about 2,000 books about Islam in my library at home. And I did go to the Sharia, you know, by my own will, and I was fighting to study. And I have very high degrees. Yet, when he did this with me, he made me feel that I'm really feeling in short and doing nothing for my deen in terms of, wow, but I just open and read. For those who don't know, maybe you know, wallahi, some, especially, you know, Pakistani brothers in specific, they are the best people in terms of doing special efforts to teach themselves, their wives and their kids, the Quran. You know this, the madrasa, the homeschooling, they don't care. Quran is a priority. Wallahi, I witnessed some of them 5 years pushing himself to teach himself as an adult. Arabic. After 5 years, he was reading Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim or Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It depends. Or a Muslim, new Muslim converts, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Wal Azzalin. And you, Mr. Arab, I tell my students, by birth, just you understand and you read. You read means you understand. He spent 5 years just to be able to read, not to understand. Understanding is another problem. Look what kind of ni'mah Arabs have received. By the way, Arabs in specific among Muslims, they are facing the same problem that the children of Israel in the sight of Allah, in my understanding. Because Allah gave them. Allah decided to choose the Prophet from you. You have direct access to the knowledge of Allah. And Allah decided to let His final book in your language. Do you think this is something easy? Is it a marginal issue? No. No. طبعا القصة كلها حكيتها بالانجليزي ونسيت حالي بالعربي. خلص سامحوني صعب اعيدها. ماشي؟ مش ما بقدرش اعيدها، القصة هي إذا رديت عدت راح اقتلها هسه الآن، اللي وصلت إن شاء الله تكون وصلت بالخير. عفوا تفضل. لا لا القصة كلها بدي اعيدها بالآن ماتت خلص يعني طلعت هيك مش مخطط لها ولا مرتب لها ولا شيء. على فكرة حكيت قصة عن شيء. صعب عيدها بالإنجليزية عفوا بالعربي. فلاحظوا يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. Now how to say remember my favors upon you, fulfill your covenant and I will fulfill mine. Now Muslims in general and Arabs in specific, are they facing disasters now? هل يواجه العرب والمسلمون عامة والعرب خاصة كوارث في حياتهم الآن؟ طيب الوضع الطبيعي هل يدعون الله؟ السؤال المنطقي هل نحن كأمة أقصد أمة إسلامية وأمة عربية هل نقصر في الدعاء؟ الدعاء دعاء بس مفهوم الدعاء ندعي ولا ما ندعي؟ ندعي يوجد آلاف وملايين المساجد ويوجد ملايين الأدعية برمضان وبغير رمضان وندعو الاستجابة كما نريد هل تتم؟ نفهم من هنا أوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. So I'm talking in light of this verse. Allah will say fulfill your covenant, I will fulfill my covenant. Which means, now, most of us, Muslims in general, Arabs in specific, all the time we are praying, Ya Allah help us, Ya Allah help us, Ya Allah such and such, they are, you know, attacking us, killing us. You know, wherever you go, in most parts of earth, you will find somehow Muslims who are tortured, killed, and imprisoned, something bad happened to them. And we are making dua. Allah is not responding to us. Why? Let's understand from this. أوفوا بعهدي, أوفي بعهدكم. خلينا ناخذ هيك بس مثال سريع جدا جدا جدا. بالسبعين سنة الأخيرة كم منظومة فكرية انتشرت بين العرب تحارب الله سبحانه وتعالى؟ وطنية، قومية، عروبة، ماركسية، بعثية، اللي بدك يا إيه، الكل آخرة الإيه إيه 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 إيه. هذول كم إيه وجدت بيننا؟ كم منها قائم على حرب الله علنا؟ أحد الأحزاب العروبية شعاره الذي يدرس آمنت بالبعث ربا لا شريك له وبالعروبة دينا ما له من ثان. طب هذا يدرس، هذا مش كلام من عندي، هذا يدرس. طب هذا إيش؟ هذا حرب على الله ولا لا؟ كمثال معظم الحركات، مش هتشوف موضوع من لم يفي، عم بحكي على أمي أنا الآن، ما عم بتحكيش من باب سياسي، عم بحكي سنن كونية أنا الآن. And I'm discussing now a very important thing. Now Arabs, the last 78 years, many of them, they have created, invented, accepted, participated, collaborated in, call it, name it in your way, in a lot of movements. Most of them, they are based on fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as Arab nationalism, okay? For example, it's based in some cases on a clear slogan. I said one of them on the Arabic Renaissance, which means they used to say, I believe in the Arab Renaissance as a God instead of God himself, the core meaning, you know, I believe in Arabs and Arabism instead of the religion and God, which could be committing disbelief. It's a, here comes, awfu bi'ati, we are ya Allah, ya Allah. How many of us, we are agreeing with these things? Practically, for example, Sykes and Picot, you know them. French and British, about 100 years ago, after the First World War, or before the First World War, okay, the end of the First World War, they decided to divide our countries, our region, especially. Before Sykes-Picot, basically, we did not have what we know as now as Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, and Jordan. We did not have. It was just an open Bilad al-Sham, as example. Look now, Sykes and Picot, they came, they draw a line like this. By doing this, this country became, for example, Palestine, and this country became Syria, and this country became Lebanon. Now, according to Arab nationalism, this is my border. If you cross through the border, I, as a soldier, I will be killing you, defending my country and my land. And you are my brother and my cousin, will be killed because you are attacking my land. What is this? By the way, do we do this or not? Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, this is what we're doing. So this is part of that. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to us? أوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. By the way, this is on the very big scale. هذا على المستوى الكبير جدا. نفس الآية تطبق على الأفراد. المعنى أنا كفرد، أنا كشخص، أنا الآن يا رب يا الله. Many times الناس بيسألونا عن سؤال موضوع استجابة الدعاء. أنا عندي إشكالية، عندي مشكلة، عندي تحدي، عندي امتحان، عندي مرض، عندي مستشفى، عندي أي شيء، بدعو يا الله. فطب يا شيخ ليش ربنا ما بيستجيب لي؟ بمعنى وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب إيش لكم. فالله سبحانه وتعالى إذا وعد محال أن يخلف. طب لماذا لم يستجب الله لي؟ فجزء من الإجابة نجيبه من خلال ما نسميه موانع إجابة الدعاء. So now in this context, some people they say, I give an example on a big scale, I mean nations. Now we came down to the individual scales, the same ayah. Fulfill your covenant, I will fulfill mine or my covenant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, many of us on individual basis or small group basis or family basis, sometimes we face problems, health problems, hospital problem, tests, anything. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Some of them, they come to us and ask, Ya Sheikh, Ya Doctor, Ya Imam, whoever. Why Allah is not responding to us? Even though Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord have declared clearly, call me and I will respond to you. And this is a promise from Allah, which this is called F-closed sentence, جملة شرطية. Okay? Call, I will respond, which means the response will come if you, and the promiser here is Allah, it's not anyone. I might promise and I might not fulfill my promise, but Allah has promised. So what's the problem? Here comes what we call موانع إجابة الدعاء, the obstacles in the face of responding to the dua. This is mentioned in a hadith. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, قال ربا أشعذ أغبرة ذو طمرين مدفوع بالأبواب يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي أو غذي بالحرام فأنا يستجاب لذلك. So Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was paying our attention to something very important. Allah does respond, but sometimes I decided to put an obstacle between me and the response of the dua. He explained this in a hadith. He gave the example of someone who's highly in need, very poor, okay, very shaggy, you know, like this, his hair. He's in need, desperately in need, very poor, very needy, very thirsty, very hungry, very, and he's asking Allah, he's not ignoring Allah, he's not neglecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. But Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم continues, قال مطعمه حرام. His food comes from a haram source. مشربه حرام. His drink comes from haram source. قال وملبسه, his clothing from a haram source. قال وغذية أو وغذية بالحرام, which means from top to toe, everything is haram in his life. قال أنه يستجابه. How come that this person will be responded? Because he's putting obstacles. You need to, قال أطب مطعمك تجب دعوتك, which means let the source of your food comes from a tayyib source, which means halal source. Allah will respond to your. When we say halal, we are not talking about slaughtering halal chicken or something. No, no, no. The general mean of halal, for example, if I'm taking part of the inheritance of my sisters, my money is not halal. If I'm cheating, if I'm taking my salary while I'm not working according to what I take, so my money is not completely halal. Any kind of cheating, lying, which means part of it is not halal. But you know, by understanding these things, you understand. وَأَوْفُ بِعَهْدِي أُوفِي بِعَهْدِكُمْ. Just. It is for the children of Israel. They received a lot of bounties. We did as well. So if Allah is not pleased from them, exactly, He might not be pleased from us as well. So take a lesson. But we have an advantage. The advantage that we know what happened, everything for them. So be careful. Look, still, we will be mentioning, يعني نحن لنا ميزة أن الله أطلعنا على قصة من سبقنا وأرانا قصته من البداية إلى النهاية. فإياك أن تقع أو أن تقصر كما قصروا. طبعا قصة اليوم كانت عن وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. So we will stop inshallah because I promised 30 minutes, exactly 30 minutes. وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإيايا فارهبون. See you next Tuesday. So we have just Tuesdays and Thursdays inshallah. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.